All right, we're going to get started. Let me give you a quick heads up. We're recording general questions today, either 1 or 2 hours, depending on how many questions we have. Right now, both questions and calls are kind of light, so this would be a great opportunity for you to get through. I say this every show, and by the end of the show, I usually can't get to all the questions. But right now, if you've got a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all you want to talk about, press 1 on your phone, and we will get to you. So I'll keep you updated on where we are as far as questions, but right now they're light, so you've got a great chance to get through right now. Go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we're going to get started.
Money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. Questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your own authority, you name it, we'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give me a call. We're going to get to those calls and questions in just a couple minutes. I want to continue on with my book review. I've been working on the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I've been through the first 2 habits, and we're moving on to the third. Just to give you a quick heads up, the first habit was be proactive. That means don't wait around and react to what happens to you, but get proactive in planning your life and moving forward and doing what's important to you. Habit number 2, one of my favorites, was begin with the end in mind. And this applies to all of the important areas of your life. Your life itself, what do you want your life to look like if you could pick? And you can. You just have to make that decision. What do you want your business to look like 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? What is the end goal? And decide what the end looks like first, and then work backwards. Begin with the end in mind. Habit number 3 is put first things first. Manage your life according to your needs and priorities. Spend time doing what fits into your personal mission, observing the proper balance between production and building production capacity. Identify the key roles that you take on in life and make time for each of them. These habits all build on themselves. So you're going to be proactive, not reactive. You're going to begin with the end in mind, meaning designing your life, your business, your relationships, your finances, designing them the way you want them to look. How do you want them to turn out? And now, in order to get to those things, you have to put first things first. Earlier in my review of this book, I talked about the visual of filling up a jar with big rocks, and that still leaves a lot of room to put in pebbles and sand and water. Unfortunately, we tend to run our lives the opposite. The water and the sand are the little things we have to do every day. We just have to do them. But yet we let those things fill up our life, and we have no room for the big rocks, the really important stuff. And what's important to you is completely up to you. But there, we all have things in life that we know we should be doing, whether it's managing our money better, managing our relationships better, spending more time with our kids, going back for more education, getting healthier, getting our business organized. There's just the list goes on and on. We all know what those things are, and we all tend to say we'll get to those when. And then we have a whole list of things that have to happen first. Well, I have all these phone calls. I have to get this done. I have to get that done. Life gets in the way, and it will always get in the way. You will never get to that place where everything is done, and then you can focus on the big things. You've got to prioritize. You have to put the big things in your life first, and this is what Habit 3 is all about. Put first things first. I mean, think about it. How long have you been saying that you're going to get to those things? If you're like the rest of us, myself included, your whole life, you either ignore them or you think about them in the back of your mind and say, I'll get to them when this is over. You know, sometimes we even go to extremes. I'll go back to school when all the kids are out of the house, whatever it might be. That's not the way to live life. That's the way most people live life, and that's why most people are unsatisfied. They're not accomplishing as much as they could be. These habits will change that. And this is a big one. Put first things first. So sit down and decide what is important to you. Make a list of things in life that are important to you. Relationships, health, money, business, spirituality, giving back, whatever they might be. This is your list. You get to decide. But sit down and make a list and then prioritize it. What's most important to you? And put the list in order, and then you have to start making time, not waiting for time to show up. Time will never show up. There's always going to be other stuff. This seems to get worse all the time because everybody wants our attention, and because of technology today, everybody can get our attention. You know, with online and Facebook and social media and texting and a phone in our pocket, everybody has access to us now. One of the things you might want to think about doing is restricting that access, turning off the phone, not answering every text message when it pops up, not having Facebook pop up on your phone constantly. Everybody wants your attention, but every time you allow that to happen, that means you don't have time for the things that are important to you. This habit can change that. This habit will help you start turning that around. So once you identify what's important to you, put first things first, then you schedule time for those things, no matter what else is going on, because it's easy to get distracted. There's always something else that seems more important. There's another great visual that's in this book. And when we wrap up this book review and we put it all together in one place on a podcast, we'll put some of these resources there as well. But imagine a square, and now take that square and put a cross through it, a vertical line and a horizontal line. So now you have four squares inside the big square. And one of the visuals that they talk about in this book and one of the concepts is there are things that are urgent, and there are things that are important, and there are things that are urgent and not important, and there are things that are important and not urgent. And those are the four squares. And the way that applies to this, put first things first. Things that are important but not urgent. Those are the big rocks. Those are the things we never get to. We know they're important, but they're not urgent. if you don't work on your business accounting today, nobody's going to bug you. Nobody's going to call you up and say, you've got to get this done. It's got to get done. I need this right now. That doesn't happen. The same thing with your health and with your relationships and with spending time with your kids and your spirituality. They are all important, but they're almost never urgent. That's why we don't get to them. Now, we also have some things that are important, urgent. Normally, they end up that way because we procrastinated. Let me give you an example of this. It's important for you to file your tax return. It's got to get done. Eventually, it will have to get done. The more you procrastinate, the more urgent it becomes. It's still important. It's just not urgent unless you procrastinate so long that it becomes urgent. Now you have to do it. So you want to take things that are important and could become urgent and make sure you do them. Don't procrastinate. If you have a good accounting system all year long, you should be able to get your tax return done in January or February, no problem. Lots of things that are important become important and urgent because we procrastinate. If your license is about to expire, well, you know it way in advance. You could get it done and it would be important, but it wouldn't be urgent. But if you wait till the last day, now it's important and urgent. I'm going to have a couple more things to say about that, and then we'll get to your calls and questions right after this break. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. Okay, so two more categories, then we're going to move on to your questions. So we had things that were important but not urgent. Those are the big rocks. Those are the things we should work on and we never seem to get to. We have the things that are important and urgent, but they usually are that way because we procrastinated something we already knew was coming. Now we go on to the urgent but not important. And that's what I was talking about earlier, where everybody wants your attention and they want to make things seem like they are urgent. They have to get done or they're right in your face. Somebody wants something now, but honestly, they're not all that important. And you have to decide this category, and once you do, you have to stop letting other people make things urgent for you. If it's not important, but somebody's just trying to make it seem urgent, or maybe you are, really sit down and think, what would happen if I didn't do this? What would happen if I just don't do this? If it's not important, does it really need to be done just because it's urgent? Your phone ringing. You know, you look down and your phone's ringing and maybe you don't recognize the number and you're in the middle of working on a big project, something that is important to you. Well, maybe you just shouldn't answer it. We have voicemail. If it's really important, they'll leave a message. But we get into this mode of urgent, urgent. It's got to get done. I got to answer that. Oop, there's an email. I better look at that. Oop, there's a text message. Some of those things are just not important at all. We should ignore them. Don't let everybody else make things urgent for you. Now we have things that are not urgent. This is the last category. They're not urgent and they're not important. Believe it or not, this is where most people spend their time. It's not urgent, doesn't have to get done right now. It's not even important. And yet, this is where we spend the most of our time. These are things like spending too much time on Facebook and online. That's not urgent. You don't have to get on Facebook in the next 15 minutes. It's really not important. We try to make it important. We make up all kinds of excuses. Well, that's how I stay in touch with people, and that's how I know what's going on, and, well, that's where I get my news. And we can make all kinds of excuses. Watching TV, lots of time on the internet. I could go through a bunch of these. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things. You should. It's good downtime. But take a look at how much time you spend on this and then compare it to how much time you spend doing things that are really important. Now, let's say you spend 10 hours a week on really important stuff, 10 hours a week working on your business accounting, working on relationships, spending time with your kids, spending time getting healthier, maybe spend more time shopping for good quality food and preparing more food. I know that takes time, but it's important. Now, let's say you're spending 10 hours a week doing really important stuff. Well, then knock yourself out. Spend as much time as you want on non-important, non-urgent stuff. You've earned it. And you know what? You'll enjoy it much more when you do it that way. But when you spend all your time on things that are not important, not urgent, and you're neglecting the other areas of your life, you don't enjoy it as much because you feel guilty. So I'm going to be talking more about that as we move through the book review. Those first three habits, those are all on your own. That's all about you, self-mastery, working on yourself. When we move into the next three habits, they are all about working with others, which is also important. So I'll pick that up in the next show. Right now, I'm going to get to some phone calls. Let's head off to Florida. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey there.
I got an oil sample.
All right, let's take a look at this thing. All right, so looks like we've got about 50,000 miles on the oil. Do we have about 1.4, almost 1.5 million on the engine?
No, I had it rebuilt at the first of the year. I got 52,364 on the engine and 44,522 on the oil.
Got it. Okay.
Because I had to do my first oil change after the engine rebuild.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not too worried about some of the wear metals that are kind of hanging out. We have a little bit of tin, a little bit of copper. The copper doesn't bother me because we didn't have any lead first, so it's not a bearing. It's probably coming from somewhere else. Iron's a little high, but those are all break-in wear metals. I'm not too worried about those. Fuel dilution at 2.5, not a big deal there. I think we're okay. What does worry me a bit is that the soot on the last sample was at 1.1, which was okay. Now we're at 2.8. Something needs to be tweaked on this engine. Something is not right. So we look at some of the obvious stuff first. Intake restriction. If we don't have any intake restriction and we don't have any leaking charger, cooler, leaking hoses, clamps, that kind of stuff, then we can move on. But we want to make sure that the intake system is sealed, working properly, we've got good airflow, and then we want to do the same thing on the exhaust side. Do we have any kind of exhaust restriction, an old muffler, that kind of thing? If exhaust is fine, then we have to look at timing. is the overhead set, and after an in-frame, we may need to go in and reset that overhead.
Okay.
If it's not, if we take care of all those things and we still have soot, then we have to start looking at possibly some programming in the ECM, some issues there. Make sure the engine's operating at a good temperature. If an engine's running too cool, it'll produce more soot. So I'm not too worried about anything here, but I think we've got to go back in and tweak this thing and find out why it's producing so much soot.
Okay. All right, that's one of my questions was the soot on that. But everything else looks fine on it, though.
Yeah, everything else, like I say, there's some wear metals hanging around in there. That's pretty normal after an in-frame, so I wouldn't worry about those. But we need to get that soot under control and then see what we have.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Ontario. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing today?
Good. What can I help you with today?
You got a couple of oil samples there from mine. One was done back in May. We discussed it in May, and it was high in lead. And I just got the 15,000-mile oil sample done, and it came back all normal. And I just had my oil change this morning, and I grabbed another oil sample, so we'll have it for later on.
That's a good thing. So I don't know why we would have seen lead high and then it goes away. But if it goes away, that's all we care about. If we would have continued seeing lead, then we would be worried about the bearing. Because what happens is the outer coating of the bearing lead. And you can see high lead numbers for several oil samples, and then you'll start seeing copper. And that's when the bearing, shot.
Okay.
But if we see it once and then it goes away, that's why I asked you to resample. Sometimes we just get an anomaly like that. So I don't like to get too excited right off the bat. And now it looks good. So there's really nothing to worry about.
Yeah, because I did get a hold of the previous owner. And this motor was rebuilt 150,000 miles ago. It had an in-frame done.
Okay, so that could have been just some residual lead left over. We do get wear metals in the beginning, and now it looks like it's going to clean up nice. So let's just keep sampling and see what happens.
Now, I did I put a weed burner with one of the high-flow mufflers from Pittsburgh Power on this truck. I picked up a full mile to the gallon by taking off the stacks and going with a weed burner.
Wow.
So they do work.
Incredible.
And I think it was a half of it was, drag, because I don't have those big stacks running up the side of the truck anymore.
Right.
And it's free flow right down and dumps out in front of the wheels.
Yeah, this is one of those modifications that we've done many times. We usually see around a half mile per gallon, maybe 6/10, but occasionally we see this. And you just hit it on the head. We're making two improvements at the same time. We're getting those stacks out of the wind stream, so we're improving aerodynamics. But when you look at those stack setups, there's all kinds of twists and turns and bends before the exhaust makes it out. And by converting it to a weed burner, we shorten it, we straighten it, we get that high-flow muffler. We get a lot less back pressure. The engine's working easier. EGT goes down. Great stuff. So call me on the next sample. We'll take a look at it. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, a quick heads up. We got off to kind of a slow start with calls this morning, but now they are flooding in, and I'll let you know that we have lots of room for questions right now. So this will be a great opportunity for you. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, anything at all, if you press 1 on your phone right now, I promise I'll be able to get to you. So this is your opportunity. Go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we'll get to your calls and questions in this hour. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. I'm going to get back to some phone calls. We're going to head off this time to Washington. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Well, I had one problem I was going to pick with you, which was about the ketogenics. Back in December, I was all upset when you did all this. Now,
okay,
that's in March. My A1C in December, I'll tell you, was 9.7.
Wow.
In March, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
March
yeah.
16th, I went on the ketogenics diet. 2 weeks into it, I heard you say no statins. So I went cold turkey on my statins. I was 326 when I started the diet. About a month and a half into the diet, I did my A1C with the Walmart over-the-counter one. I was down to 6.
Wow.
When I saw my doctor at the end of 3 months on the diet, I was at 6.1 on his medical one instead of the over-the-counter one.
Right.
And I'd lost 52 pounds.
Wow. That is incredible. The weight loss is awesome, no question. The A1C, that is just amazing to go from 9.7 to 6.1 in 90 days. What did your doctor have to say about that?
He's still in shock. He doesn't understand the diet yet, but he's on the anti-wheat stuff because he was already trying to get me to read the book Wheat Belly.
Good. Good.
So, yeah, he's for this. He cut my I'm on Victoza and Metformin and all that stuff. I was at a maximum dose of Victoza of 1.8, and he put me to 1.2 and told me to start doing the at-home A1C the first week of the month. I'm now down to 0.6, and starting today, we cut back my metformin. Instead of 1,000 twice a day, it's going to be 500 for a month in the morning and then 1,000 at night. And when I check my A1C the beginning of next month, I'll know what's going on and when to drop the night pill.
That
yeah,
is just...
My 14-day average is 99. And my 30-day average is 102 on my blood sugars.
That is awesome, because here's what we know, that there is really no blood sugar problems or complications if you stay under 140. Anytime you are over 140 for extended periods of time, that's when we see all the damage, the nerve damage, the glycation that can lead to Alzheimer's, the inflammation that can lead to heart disease, all of the problems, the diabetic nerve pain, all of those things happen when our blood sugar stays in an elevated state above 140. So you are obviously pretty extremely diabetic, and there would have been complications, but now those are going to go away. I mean, this is really a major change in your health, and it's just, you know, I'm glad you've got a doctor that's working with you, because he's doing exactly what should be done. He's watching your blood sugar. He's adjusting the medication on the way down, and there is a very, very high chance that if you stay on this and you keep doing what you're doing, you'll be able to get off all the medication.
Oh, that's the goal by Christmas. I see him again, other than a couple of phone calls. I'll see him again in December 22nd, right before Christmas. And my goal is to be totally off meds by Christmas.
Fantastic. So you must be feeling better.
Yeah, except now I got to have three pairs of glasses. The over-the-counter reading glasses. Yeah, because my eyes adjust so much that because the blood sugars change and then the ocular fluids are, they run slower.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a pair of twos, two and a halves, and threes. It doesn't affect my driving. It just affects my ability to read.
The reading. Yeah, interesting. Huh. All kinds of physical changes.
Glasses.
Yeah.
And I will tell people to get the Ketonix breathalyzer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's if you, especially in the beginning, I haven't broken mine out in a couple weeks, but I'm probably going to today. I do like to check once in a while. But in the beginning, you know, even the first 6 months or a year, it's kind of nice to just watch the ketone levels and see what works.
Well, I've maxed out at 60. I'm trying to see if I can break 65 or 70.
There you go. Yeah, I found that if I can get to 60, I'm feeling really, really good. And for me, and I'm not even sure why, 60 was kind of hard to achieve. Even when I do everything right, I tend to stay in that 50, mid to high 50 range. But when I break 60, I can usually tell. Those are the days where I just have energy, you know, that just doesn't end.
Yeah, I've only hit 60 once, and then I went on a splurge and ate things I shouldn't, and the very next day I was in the 20s.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how fast it can change. Your body, the minute it sees glucose, it says, oh, look, cheap, easy energy, let's burn that, and it stops producing ketones because it doesn't need to anymore.
Yeah, I'm still learning that part. I have technically tried to stop all grain, even though a few of the low-carb tortillas I've had, but I've stopped bread since day one. I haven't had any breads whatsoever.
Excellent. You know, that is probably the single biggest change people can make. If you cut out all the grains, you are technically going to end up on a restricted carbohydrate diet. It may not be low carb, but you're certainly going to cut out more than half of the carbs in your diet if you get rid of the grains. And you're getting rid of all the other problems that come with grains, and there are lots of them.
Yeah, I can't even eat at McDonald's anymore. I used to eat there every single day after I picked up my new load. And I can't even go in and eat because there's all that I could eat that's on the menu is a salad.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's kind of it. There are some other fast food places, you know, Chipotle, Qdoba, that you can eat pretty ketogenic and, you know, certainly healthier. But the fast food burger joints, I think the only one that I will go to, Hardee's and Carl Jr., they actually have a grass-fed burger on their menu, and I'll just get the patty and throw it on a salad.
Actually, they will low-carb it for you and put it in a lettuce wrap.
Yeah, and that works too. I just like the, you know, a whole salad, throw a burger patty on that. I do that in a lot of restaurants now. That works really well.
Yeah, and I wanted to thank you for this because I would have never found it.
Well, you're welcome.
I've got a stack of cookbooks and stuff now and trying to figure out what to cook that won't take forever. But
we're
the
other
website I like is Jimmy Moore's website, his rule.me website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got tons and tons of great information, great podcasts, great resources. We're going to keep working on stuff too, because we are We're taking everything from the paleo community, from the primal community, from the keto community. I like bits and pieces of all of those ideas, lifestyles, whatever we want to call them. But then our job is to figure out ways to make this easy for people living in a truck. And that certainly brings up challenges, but we are going to be bringing you a lot of resources to make this much easier to do on the road. So thanks for the feedback. Great story. Keep up the good work. Let's go to Texas. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Just one thing. I just want to get some tips from you about getting a home loan if you're an owner-operator. Me and
okay.
my wife been looking, and we've been getting turned down because of me owning a business.
Got it. Okay, let me get to a break. We'll come back, and I'll have some ideas for you. Great question. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. I'm going to go back to Eric in Texas. So, Eric, this is always a little bit of a challenge when you're self-employed. How long have you been an owner-operator?
3 years now. I want to know if you're looking at my profit gauges and see if I even can get qualified.
I don't have your profit gauges up here in front of me, so we're going to have to maybe I'll get it and we can bring you back on another show. We can look at the numbers. More important than profit gauges, although that's important, your profit and loss is going to matter. Have you looked up your credit score yet?
Yes, I got a 725 middle score.
Okay, so you should be okay with credit score. There are certainly lots of lenders that, as long as you're over 700, they're usually pretty good. Usually, as long as you're over 700, that you'll get approved, you might pay a slightly higher rate. And in today's world, that's not a big deal because mortgage rates are so cheap anyway. It's not a big deal. Because I don't have your profit gauges up in front of me, do you remember what your net profit is?
Net profit last year was around, say, about $50,000.
Yeah, so who have you applied with for a mortgage so far and been turned down from?
David Weekly Homes.
Okay, so you're working with the builder.
Yes.
Okay, here's what I would recommend. I would recommend searching around, and I wouldn't apply with anybody else yet. What I would do is search around for a mortgage broker who specializes in self-employed. So you're just going to have to start Googling or looking up mortgage brokers. So we don't want to go directly to a bank. We don't want to go directly to a finance company, because what happens then is you do all the work and you're either going to get approved or turned down by just one place. And that's what happened with David Weekly. That's one builder. You did all that work. They turned you down. Now you got to go do it again. But if you work with a mortgage broker, And I'm going to put you back on hold so you can listen because I'm getting a ton of feedback. If you find a good mortgage broker and they specialize in self-employed, now you're going to do the work one time. You're going to explain your situation, give them your paperwork. They'll pull the credit report, and then they go out and find somebody who will approve you. And if they don't, then, I mean, I'm not hearing any reason why you shouldn't. 720 score, 50,000, 3 years in business. You are capable of getting a mortgage. You just have to find the right company. And that's what a broker does. They'll go find that company. And that's why you want to call mortgage brokers and find somebody who works with owner-operators specifically. And if you want, on another show, call me back. Make sure you give the call screener your Profit Gages information. We'll pull it up, and I'll go through some numbers with you and see if there are some things we can improve there as well. Let's go to Iowa. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Hey, a while back I called you and to get your recommendation on a sleep study. And you advised me that that would not be the best thing. I did not want to put that on, you know, have that tied to my CDL.
Right.
After doing a little research on the internet, I found a company that would sell me a CPAP machine without a prescription.
Okay.
I was able to get that machine. They told me how to tune it up. And I haven't missed a night of sleep without my machine since I've got it. It has changed my life.
Excellent.
It has put my wife back in the bedroom, and there's peace in the house.
That's excellent, and I'm glad you did it this way because I know clearly these machines are helping people. And sleep is important. It's almost one of those things, kind of like some of the supplements I talk about. You know, I'm not big on supplements. I would like to do everything as natural as possible. But sometimes we need a jump start. And this may be one of those times. You may use this machine, and by getting the right sleep, then other things start working better. And eventually you may be able to go without it. If it's working, absolutely keep doing it. What I didn't want, though, was the industry is all over the whole sleep apnea thing, making, you know, all kinds of stuff required, and it's just another big money grab. You know, I would like to keep people out of that system if we can.
Well, I tell you what, before I got on this CPAP, I was having to pull over after 2 hours into my duty day and take a nap.
Yeah.
And that now, after the first night, I don't have to worry about going to bed and getting, you know, 8 or 10 hours of sleep. I'm fine with six hours of sleep with my machine running, and I'm up for the day. I can do a 16 or an 18 hour day and not feel fatigued at all. Now, another thing that you had mentioned was making a change in my diet. I'm probably 20 pounds overweight, 210 pounds at 5'11", and I was having what I did was I dropped about 95% of my carbs. Probably 75% of the 95 was barley pops, and
okay.
I was able to cut that out completely within 2 weeks. I've dropped 10 pounds. Now when I go into the truck stop to grab a snack, I grab a banana or an apple. Well, I haven't switched, but I've added a bullet coffee in the morning using I used to use the coconut oil, which I was able to enjoy that. But I switched over to butter and cream, And man, what a difference. I mean, that bullet coffee, that will get me through the first 6 hours of the day easy. And if I'm on the road and I'm busy, I'll have another one.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, great stuff. Hey, keep letting me know how the progress is going. That is amazing. I love that kind of feedback. And couldn't agree more on the bulletproof coffee. Let's squeeze in another call before we've got to wrap this up. We're off to New Jersey. Mike, it's your turn.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you. I've been trying to figure out something that I can take on the road that I can bring macronutrients to me. And I was wondering what you think about a smoothie as a delivery mechanism, because it's so easy. I can pack it in a bunch of bottles, and from time to time when I'm hungry between meals, I can take a smoothie. And I wanted to also ask you what you thought about some of the ingredients on the menu, on the recipe that I have.
Okay, give me the recipe, because that'll be the important thing, because we can make smoothies that are horrible for you, and we can make smoothies that are pretty darn good. So tell me what you're doing.
Okay, so the recipe is pumpkin seeds, a quarter cup, 1 cup of cherries, 2 cups of spinach milk, and a cup of mixed berries, strawberries, and I do all organic stuff.
Got it.
Berries,
perfect.
Cherries, pumpkin, spinach is, it's the spinach and the cherries that I'm a little suspect. The others seem to be pretty good.
Yeah, no, the spinach, I'll tell you the best ingredients in there are the spinach and the coconut. There are lots of nutrients and low glycemic. There's lots of good nutrients in the berries and the cherries. We just have to watch the sugar and the fructose. So this is where it would be, for example, I had a caller earlier who had a very, very high A1C, and he's working on getting it down. I would never recommend this smoothie for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the question I have for you is, do you have any blood sugar issues?
Not that I know of. I'm about 6'1", underweight, about 185. I've dropped a ton of weight, like 20 pounds since I started on the ketogenic diet, and my energy levels are through the roof.
Okay, then this is just fine for you. This is a good smoothie for you. It's a little high in sugar and fructose, so you might want to just dial back the berries a little bit. Actually, I would dial back the cherries. They're higher in sugar and lower in phytonutrients. The berries are really what you want to load up on. So cherries are good, but I would cut back a little bit on the cherries. Keep the berries in there. The other stuff is amazing. And since you don't have any blood sugar issues based on those numbers, this is a good way for you to get nutrition in a way that your body absorbs it really well. So good stuff. There's the music. I've got to get out of here. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're going to call it a day. Question: we have a ton of calls. Questions were just really light today. So we will come back and do it again tomorrow with an hour of Pittsburgh Power and an hour of general questions. So we'll see you then.